This is Anglia Examinations, England. Listening Examination. Level 2. Paper CC Proficiency 115. Instructions. Listen to the recording and answer the questions. You will hear each part of the recording twice. There will be a pause before each part so you can read the questions. There will be other pauses to let you think about your answers. When you hear the tone, you should write your answers on the question paper. Write clearly in the spaces provided. You must ask any questions now as you cannot speak during the test. Listen to the first part of the test.
Section L1. You will hear a guide speaking to tourists in their hotel on the first night of a weekend city break. For questions 1 to 5, listen to the recording and tick the correct box. For questions 6 to 10, fill in the missing information.
My name's Matt, and I'm going to give you a short introduction to the city of Bath. The presence of hot springs, as well as limestone, a practical building material, made it very attractive to the Romans, who were the first to build here. Later, in the 18th century, the Georgians made the town even more famous for its beautiful streets. They also developed the local wool industry, and Bath became a centre of fashionable social activity. This is still true today. People come to the spa because of its healing waters, but the annual Bath in April week is one of the most talked about fashion events. It starts this weekend and fashion designers from across the globe will be attending, so it's worth a look. Tomorrow morning, we'll be taking a walking tour to learn some of Bath's less well-known secrets, like Pulteney Bridge. This was designed by British architect Robert Adam in an Italian style. Did you know that there are only 3 other bridges in the world to have shops across both sides like this? The most famous being the Ponte Vecchio in Italy. Although Pulteney Bridge always had shops, it was not really wide enough, so it was widened at a later date. After the bridge, we'll head for the Holborn Museum. It was originally an exclusive hotel, but today it houses a collection of paintings, sculpture and furniture, all belonging to Sir William Holborn, who lived nearby. Saturday afternoon is free. I recommend you head for the area around Bath Abbey. Take the time to wander among the noisy crowds in this old part of town. It's great fun, and in this beautiful open space, you will see some fantastic street performers and musicians. No visit to Bath would be complete without visiting the Roman baths, and we'll dedicate Sunday morning to a tour with a qualified guide. This tour usually lasts for over 2 hours, including a coffee break. Make the most of your guide and ask lots of questions. Your hotel is at the heart of historic Bath. There is a tourist office next door where you can get a free map. Books are for sale too. Finally, as tonight is your first night here, we've made reservations at Jenny Jones. This is a historic eating house for anyone keen to try some of its famous traditional dishes. Please tick your name on the list at the reception desk to secure a place. I need to know names by 7:30. Right then, I'll see you all later on and we can...
Now listen to the first part of the test again.
My name's Matt, and I'm going to give you a short introduction to the city of Bath. The presence of hot springs, as well as limestone, a practical building material, made it very attractive to the Romans, who were the first to build here. Later, in the 18th century, the Georgians made the town even more famous for its beautiful streets. They also developed the local wool industry, and Bath became a centre of fashionable social activity. This is still true today. People come to the spa because of its healing waters. But the annual bath in April week is one of the most talked about fashion events. It starts this weekend and fashion designers from across the globe will be attending, so it's worth a look. Tomorrow morning, we'll be taking a walking tour to learn some of Bath's less well-known secrets, like Pulteney Bridge. This was designed by British architect Robert Adam in an Italian style. Did you know that there are only 3 other bridges in the world to have shops across both sides like this? The most famous being the Ponte Vecchio in Italy. Although Pulteney Bridge always had shops, it was not really wide enough, so it was widened at a later date. After the bridge, we'll head for the Holborn Museum. It was originally an exclusive hotel, but today it houses a collection of paintings, sculpture and furniture, all belonging to Sir William Holborn, who lived nearby. Saturday afternoon is free. I recommend you head for the area around Bath Abbey. Take the time to wander among the noisy crowds in this old part of town. It's great fun, and in this beautiful open space, you will see some fantastic street performers and musicians. No visit to Bath would be complete without visiting the Roman baths, and we'll dedicate Sunday morning to a tour with a qualified guide. This tour usually lasts for over 2 hours, including a coffee break. Make the most of your guide and ask lots of questions. Your hotel is at the heart of historic Bath. There is a tourist office next door where you can get a free map. Books are for sale too. Finally, as tonight is your first night here, we've made reservations at Jenny Jones. This is a historic eating house for anyone keen to try some of its famous traditional dishes. Please tick your name on the list at the reception desk to secure a place. I need to know names by 7:30. Right then, I'll see you all later on and we can...
Now listen to the second part of the test.
Section L2. You are going to hear 5 speakers talking about activities they enjoy. For questions 1 to 10, choose the correct answer, A, B or C. Speaker 1.
Before I got into photography, I would see a tree of autumn colours or someone's amazing face, and I honestly didn't pay attention. I loved painting at primary school, but never even picked up a paintbrush after that. I didn't mind having my photograph taken, but that was as close as I got to photography. Now I'll think, wow, I must photograph that person's face. Not everyone shares my enthusiasm, though. My friends always tell me to put that old thing down. I suppose they're right. My old camera is pretty outdated. I'd love a new one, but they're expensive. I know my friends use their phones, but they don't keep those digital photos. They take too many, far more than I do. Their pictures won't last. I print mine, put them in an album, and they'll last forever.
Speaker 2. I've always loved singing in a choir and recently read some research. The article said that singing would help clear my mind and allow me to organise myself. Well, I haven't noticed that, but singing does release something called endorphins in the brain. This explains why it cheers me up, however sad I might be. Apparently, it also exercises major muscle groups in my upper body. But I haven't noticed any improvement in fitness either. We get together on Tuesday evenings. That's the best time of day to sing, as your voice has had a chance to warm up throughout the day. This week, we had extra sessions in the morning and afternoon, as we're rehearsing. The latter was not too bad, but the morning was a real strain. One girl lost her voice.
Speaker 3. Parents sometimes ask me for advice about teaching their children to swim.
I usually say that while being a strong swimmer yourself isn't essential, you need to be happy and confident in water. Any worries picked up by your child will have a negative effect. You don't need to go on any courses or have any qualifications. Pushing a child to perform may put them off forever. Work on their confidence first. They can pick up new skills later. Yes, your child might protest, but it's essential to persevere. It's fun, but it can save their life too. Remember, the best way to teach swimming skills is to demonstrate them. If you can't put your face in the water, you can't expect your child to.
Speaker 4.
My first paintballing experience was at the age of 16. Mum didn't want me to go and told me it was childish. That was her way of trying to put me off. The truth was, she was terrified I'd get injured. I didn't agree. Loads of kids my age were doing it, and doing it safely. I just remember looking at the price list and thinking, glad I'm not paying for that myself. It was so expensive. I think it's cheaper nowadays. People from all walks of life and all levels of fitness can take part. Some can hardly run 20 metres. You can adopt a role within your team which best matches your personal level of fitness. Indeed, paintball is about much more than that, because tactics, leadership, communication and judgment play the biggest part.
Speaker 5.
I started researching my family tree last year. I couldn't believe the stories I found out. But I don't think my family is more special than others. Everyone has a great-great-grandfather or a distant uncle who explored the world or married royalty. Hollywood is nothing compared to these lives. Little did I know that my grandfather's grandfather sailed over on a boat from India and began an incredible life here. Sometimes, when things aren't going so well, it brings me comfort to know of my family history. Sometimes we hate what's going on in our lives, but history gives us perspective to know we're not alone in our struggles. It gives us comfort that we too can survive, just like those before us.
Now listen to the second part of the test again. Speaker 1.
Before I got into photography, I would see a tree of autumn colours or someone's amazing face, and I honestly didn't pay attention. I loved painting at primary school, but never even picked up a paintbrush after that. I didn't mind having my photograph taken, but that was as close as I got to photography. Now I'll think, wow, I must photograph that person's face. Not everyone shares my enthusiasm, though. My friends always tell me to put that old thing down. I suppose they're right. My old camera is pretty outdated. I'd love a new one, but they're expensive. I know my friends use their phones, but they don't keep those digital photos. They take too many, far more than I do. Their pictures won't last. I print mine, put them in an album, and they'll last forever.
Speaker 2. I've always loved singing in a choir and recently read some research. The article said that singing would help clear my mind and allow me to organise myself. Well, I haven't noticed that, but singing does release something called endorphins in the brain. This explains why it cheers me up, however sad I might be. Apparently, it also exercises major muscle groups in my upper body. But I haven't noticed any improvement in fitness either. We get together on Tuesday evenings. That's the best time of day to sing, as your voice has had a chance to warm up throughout the day. This week, we had extra sessions in the morning and afternoon, as we're rehearsing. The latter was not too bad, but the morning was a real strain. one girl lost her voice. Speaker 3.
Parents sometimes ask me for advice about teaching their children to swim. I usually say that while being a strong swimmer yourself isn't essential, you need to be happy and confident in water. Any worries picked up by your child will have a negative effect. You don't need to go on any courses or have any qualifications. Pushing a child to perform may put them off forever. Work on their confidence first. They can pick up new skills later. Yes, your child might protest, but it's essential to persevere. It's fun, but it can save their life too. Remember, the best way to teach swimming skills is to demonstrate them. If you can't put your face in the water, you can't expect your child to.
Speaker 4.
My first paintballing experience was at the age of 16. Mum didn't want me to go and told me it was childish. That was her way of trying to put me off. The truth was, she was terrified I'd get injured. I didn't agree. Loads of kids my age were doing it, and doing it safely. I just remember looking at the price list and thinking, glad I'm not paying for that myself. It was so expensive. I think it's cheaper nowadays. People from all walks of life and all levels of fitness can take part. Some can hardly run 20 metres. You can adopt a role within your team which best matches your personal level of fitness. Indeed, paintball is about much more than that, because tactics, leadership, communication and judgment play the biggest part.
Speaker 5.
I started researching my family tree last year. I couldn't believe the stories I found out. But I don't think my family is more special than others. Everyone has a great-great-grandfather or a distant uncle who explored the world or married royalty. Hollywood is nothing compared to these lives. Little did I know that my grandfather's grandfather sailed over on a boat from India and began an incredible life here. Sometimes, when things aren't going so well, it brings me comfort to know of my family history. Sometimes we hate what's going on in our lives, but history gives us perspective to know we're not alone in our struggles. It gives us comfort that we too can survive, just like those before us.
Now listen to the third part of the test. Section L3. You are going to listen to part of an interview with Breakfast Television presenter Helen Walker. Answer all the questions below by marking the correct box with a tick.
I must say, for someone who's been up since 3:15, you look remarkably lively.
Well, you have to when you're waking people up and saying, hey, I've got all this interesting stuff to tell you that's been going on while you've been asleep.
But why choose a job that requires such an early start? I know I couldn't do it.
Well, I'm not thrilled about it. Every morning's a struggle, and I have to plan my life very carefully around it. But if you're offered the chance to present a programme like this, you don't turn it down.
And what's the fascination with television presenting? How did it all start?
When I was a child, I wanted to be an actress. I was intrigued by television and used to pretend I was in the studio. It was fashionable among my friends to act out scenes from TV shows. For some reason, I was more fascinated by newsreaders. They seemed to know the answers to everything. I suppose that's what attracted me to it all.
Were you encouraged by your family?
Well, I definitely didn't have pushy parents, but my dad was a big influence. He got me interested in the news from a young age. He always helped me to look at it in a different way. I suppose he just talked to me a lot about the news, but not like I was a child.
Your first job was as a volunteer presenter on hospital radio. What was that like?
Well, lots of people really enjoy that kind of work and get a buzz out of it. I found it all a bit slow and tedious, but knew it was a good step towards a TV career, so I stuck with it. Since that time, I've actually never been out of work. The great thing about my current job is, once the show ends at 9 o'clock, the rest of the day is my own.
And how do you spend it?
Well, I head home to walk the dog and maybe take a nap before working in the garden. But I don't do anything until I've flung off my TV suit and put on jeans. My husband always laughs about this major transformation. I get in the front door, disappear immediately, and emerge a few minutes later looking very different from the person that appears on TV. Only then do we talk about our days.
Do you think it's likely to be a busier year this year than last year?
Now listen to the third part of the test again.
I must say, for someone who's been up since 3:15, you look remarkably lively.
Well, you have to when you're waking people up and saying, "Hey, I've got all this interesting stuff to tell you that's been going on while you've been asleep."
But why choose a job that requires such an early start? I know I couldn't do it.
Well, I'm not thrilled about it. Every morning's a struggle, and I have to plan my life very carefully around it. But if you're offered the chance to present a programme like this, you don't turn it down.
And what's the fascination with television presenting? How did it all start?
When I was a child, I wanted to be an actress. I was intrigued by television and used to pretend I was in the studio. It was fashionable among my friends to act out scenes from TV shows. For some reason, I was more fascinated by newsreaders. They seemed to know the answers to everything. I suppose that's what attracted me to it all.
Were you encouraged by your family?
Well, I definitely didn't have pushy parents, but my dad was a big influence. He got me interested in the news from a young age. He always helped me to look at it in a different way. I suppose he just talked to me a lot about the news, but not like I was a child.
Your first job was as a volunteer presenter on hospital radio. What was that like?
Well, lots of people really enjoy that kind of work and get a buzz out of it. I found it all a bit slow and tedious, but knew it was a good step towards a TV career, so I stuck with it. Since that time, I've actually never been out of work. The great thing about my current job is, once the show ends at 9 o'clock, the rest of the day is my own.
And how do you spend it?
Well, I head home to walk the dog and maybe take a nap before working in the garden. But I don't do anything until I've flung off my TV suit and put on jeans. My husband always laughs about this major transformation. I get in the front door, disappear immediately, and emerge a few minutes later looking very different from the person that appears on TV. Only then do we talk about our days.
Do you think it's likely to be a busier year this year than last year?
That is the end of the listening test. You will now have 3 minutes to check your answers. Your listening paper will then be collected.